He said this. He said, there it is. He said, evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Which means that these teachers themselves are deceived. They don't even know they're doing it. And they're deceiving other people because they're not real teachers of God. They're evil men. They're imposters. They're imposters when God looks down. And again, this is not obvious. It's very subtle. And the only way you would know if somebody's a true or false teacher is if you yourself were not unstable and had a strong foundation of your entire Bible. You need to be in the Word. That's why I warn you guys every single time. And you know what the funny thing is? I have heard these false teachers themselves say, you need to listen to the Word. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Word. And they tell you that stuff. And you know why they tell you? Because they know that sheep don't read their Bibles. They know that you're not going to, the majority of the people aren't going to listen to that. They're not going to read their Bible. So they tell you, even these false teachers say, don't listen to me, listen to the Word. Because they know that you can't interpret the Word because you don't spend time alone with God. What are we going to do? We better get in the Word, amen? We better read God's Word to make sure we don't have any false teachers taking advantage of us. Because if it's that subtle, only God could detect it. Which means that you need to be close enough to God so you're close enough to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit within you can tell you, no, don't eat those sticks. Come over here and eat this hay. Amen? And you go, bad. We go, bad. There you go. Now we say here, they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice those who are just escaping from those who live in error. In other words, these people are barely saved themselves or taking advantage of them. They're out there living in sin. They're barely even saved if they are at all. And those are the ones they run to because they're telling them what they want to hear. They're strengthening the hands of evildoers. So not one of them turns from their wickedness. That's again, it's Jeremiah 23:14. Verse 19 here. They promise them freedom. You're saved. You're saved. While they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that means they were born again, and are again entangled in it, in what? The corruption of the world, that's sin. Entangled in it and overcome, they're worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. They've been better off not ever being saved, because now they're going to have a way worse judgment. He said, us who teach to be judged more strictly. Verse 22, of them the proverbs are true, a dog returns, everyone say returns, to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her walling in the mud. He continues, dear friends, it's now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders. Now stop and go back to chapter 1, verse 15, or verse 12. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly. So this, what Peter was teaching here about these false teachers was strong doctrine. The people that he's writing this letter to that had already been preached this dozens and dozens and dozens of times. In fact, Paul, to prove that, Paul said in Acts chapter 20, he said, remember that for 3 years, day and night, I never stopped warning you day and night with tears. That means, and he was talking about false teachers right there in Acts 20. That means for 3 years, constantly, Paul was warning them against false teachers. And here we got Peter, another apostle, warning them and reminding them of something that they already knew about. Why? Because he knows that if he gets a strong enough foundation of them, if for some reason that sheep decides to go back into a lifestyle of sin and goes to one of those churches, they're going to pick it up in their spirit that it's not of God. And possibly turn back and come back home, repent, and be saved. Now, let's go. He talks about reminders all the way from verse 12 to verse 15. I want to make sure that after my departure, you always remember these things. And here again in chapter 3, he says, this is my second letter. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. In other words, both of Peter's letters were to remind them to live what? holy lives. Everyone say holy lives. Wholesome thinking. In other words, to get you to start thinking about living a wholesome, holy, godly, righteous, pure, blameless, holy again life. Amen? I'll give you it two times. I'll do it twice for you. Now, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. In other words, the prophets told you, the prophets of the Old Testament, the real ones, constantly warned the people to turn from their sin. Jesus, he came in, he said the world, to his own brothers, he said the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. Jesus went around telling the people to repent. Repent, repent, repent. Isaiah said about Jesus, it says when he comes, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He's going to walk in the fear of the Lord. He's going to delight in the fear of the Lord. He's going to preach a doctrine that's going to cause the people to fear God and reverence God to the point where they repent from their sin. And that's what a true preacher of righteousness does. They inspire the fear of the Lord in you. And that fear of the Lord is so important because if you for some reason are tempted to sin, the fear of the Lord will stop you. The fear of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is blameless. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's a foundation, a firm foundation to keep you saved forever. The fear of the Lord is why most people turned from sin and got born again. If you ask the majority of people who are born again why they repented, was it because God loved them? They'll say, no, I was afraid to go to hell. I didn't want to go to hell. That's the fear of the Lord. That's the fear of the Lord. I'm telling you right now that the real reason I originally repented is because I really knew that I was headed for hell and I didn't want to go to that place. And anybody who's honest will tell you, most people will tell you that the reason they repented is because they didn't want to go to hell. And that's the truth. Would everybody in this room testify to that? That's why I repented. Now, why is it? Because I feared God. I feared the wrath of God. Now, look at this here. I want you to call the words spoken in the past by your holy prophets and the command given by the Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand the last days scoffers will come scoffing, saying, following their own evil desires, and they'll say, where is this coming he promised? Where is Jesus? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Everything just goes on. Everything seems to be going real smooth. But they deliberately forgot that long ago by God's word, the heaven existed and the earth is formed out of water and by water. By these waters, the world that then was deluged and destroyed. That's talking about the pre-Adamite creation. If you got ears to hear that, we taught on it once. It's enough of it. Verse 7, by the same word, the present heavens, that's from the recreation of Genesis 1, 2, up to present. He says this, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. Everyone say reserved. Reserved. You make reservations for a hotel, this earth has reservations for fire. There's a judgment coming upon this planet. He said, by the same word that destroyed the early world, the pre-Adamite creation, whatever they were, he said, this present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of what? Ungodly men. Which means if we don't want to partake of the judgment and destruction, we need to live a what? A godly life. You see, some of you are starting to get this because we taught on this before. That's why we teach on it again. We're going to get a good foundation in you so you can help people. Because I'm telling you right now, a lot of claiming Christians, they're deceived. They're stuck in some kind of religion. You need to save them. He said, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. Now, if God says something like that, I would memorize this scripture. He says, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. He's just telling you not to forget one thing. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now look up here. The reason we're still on this earth and the rapture has not happened is because there's still people out there who will repent if you preach to them. That's why we're still here. He's waiting for the moment that the last heart will not repent and everybody's cold. They're not going to repent no matter what anybody says to them. Then he's going to pull us out. When judgment comes, you'll see how quickly a lot of people repent. You'll see how quickly a lot of people call on the name of the Lord when destruction comes down from heaven. You'll see how quickly, when they reap what they sow, how quickly people are going to call on the name of Jesus. You'll see real quick how people will repent then. Now, he says he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, that shows you the love of God. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't want any to be judged. He wants everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. In other words, there's coming a time where this grace period is going to stop. And we know God's grace is forever. What I'm talking about, the grace period, is this period before destruction and judgment start falling. It's going to have to come to an end. Eventually, God's got to lift his hand and let them reap what they sow. They planted the field with the seed. It's going to have to come back and harvest. Now, he says this, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by what?
Fire.
By fire. And the earth and everything in it will be, what does your Bible say, laid bare? It should translate like this, burned up. Your marginal rendering, some of your Bible says burned up. The earth and everything will be burned. It's going to be laid bare by being burned up is what's going to happen. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Now, by the time I read through these first two chapters, if the fear of God is not in me to want to live a holy life, there's no way of putting the fear of God in you. He starts telling me that everything's going to be destroyed by fire, and he says, what kind of people ought you to be? I don't even have to read any further to know what kind of people I ought to be. I better live a holy, godly life. Amen? Because I don't want to be partaking of that fire. He says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Again, he's telling you, the ungodly are going to be destroyed. And here he's telling you, if you live a holy, godly life, you won't be destroyed. You ought to live holy, godly lives and look forward to the day of God to come, or speed its coming. That day, and now he goes back into it again to remind you, it's a big sandwich, that was the meat. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But, in keeping with this promise, who live a holy, godly life, we who attend church on a regular basis, we who make God a priority and warn other people about the judgment to come. We who tell other people about Jesus. We who fast and pray. We who seek the Lord with our whole heart. We are looking forward to a new heaven, a new earth, the home of righteousness. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to get set free from this wicked generation and go to a place where sin doesn't exist? If you want to be in a place where sin exists, then he'll place you in a place called hell where you reap the consequences of sin, and that's the amount that's going to exist in judgment. I don't want anything to do with sin. I want to get out of this place. I hate this planet. But I'm glad that I'm here so I can get other people saved.
Amen.
Even though I hate it. Jesus said you should hate the world. Didn't he say that over and over? Now, he said not to love the world or anything in the world. Now, 1 John 2:15. Here he says, so then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, what? A new heavens and a new earth and the judgment to come that's going to burn everything up. Make every effort to be found spotless. That means no sin, blameless, no sin, and at peace with him. Now, if anybody's living in deliberate sin, they're not at peace with God in this life or in the life to come. There's no peace between you and God if you live in sin. We need to get that out of our lives. Amen? Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. That's why we're left here. We're down here to be Christ's ambassadors, to make as though he can make his appeal through us and tell other people to be reconciled to God. It means salvation for other people. Just as your brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. Of what? The grace of God. Now look at what happens about the grace of God. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort. Which ignorant and unstable people distort. They twist. They misconstrue to their utter destruction, just as they do the other scriptures. To their own destruction. So, Paul talks about grace, and that's what the majority of the claiming Christians out there today that are caught in deception, it's because of this grace teaching. The one guy's out there screaming, Father God and Mother Grace. Father God and Mother Grace. And he turns God's grace into a license to sin. And it's so subtle that even most preachers who spend a lot of time in the Word could be deceived by this man's teaching because it's so deceptive. That's how clever the devil is. That's why we need to know what the Word of God says. Because I heard this man teach and he almost had me convinced. But thank God there's such a strong foundation of the Word of me. The Holy Spirit kept bringing Scripture after Scripture after Scripture, pouring them through my spirit and said, don't listen to a word he says. He's a liar. And God's Word is what protected me from this doctrine. And I've heard other preachers say the same thing. That if you're not well trained and well skillful in the use of the word, that this type of doctrine will pull even a preacher in. That's how deceptive it is. So he said, and that's about the grace. They distort to their, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know all this, again telling you this is a reminder, be on your guard. That means be like this. Everything you hear. And how are you going to have your guard up? And thus you have something guarded in your heart, which would be God's word. Amen. How are you going to have anything to guard yourself? How are you going to have your guard up unless you have everything is being looked at through the filter of God's word that's so strong as a foundation in your spirit? How are you going to do that? That's why we need to be in the word. Be on your guard so that you, even though you already know all this, even though I've reminded you, I've written two letters about it, even though you already know you need to live a holy godly life, he says, be on your guard. So you will not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. So these people had a secure position and he's still warning them again. How much does God want us to know about this? Amen. He must really be important to God. If they had a firm foundation, they were in a secure position and he constantly kept on warning them. Paul, 3 years, night and day with tears about false teachers. Must have been pretty important to God. Verse 18, but grow, you don't get deceived by grace. Don't get pulled into this greasy grace teaching. He says, you grow in grace. Grow in the grace and knowledge or relationship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So these other teachers are telling you, chapter 2, what? The other teachers in chapter 2 were telling, the false teachers are telling them what? God's grace to cover the sin. And he's saying, you don't fall from, just listen, you already have a firm foundation, you're in a secure position, you take God's grace and you grow in it. In other words, put to death the old man, put on the new. Put off the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light. Put to death the old man. Clothe yourself with righteousness, amen? Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in life you once lived, but now, rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being rooted in knowledge and the image of its creator. Here there's no Jew or Greek, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, he told you what to put off. Now he's going to tell you what to put on. He said, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Put up with each other. Bear with each other. Bear with each other and bear with other. Forgive whatever kind of grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since you're members of one body, you call the peace to be thankful. Verse 16, chapter 3, Colossians. It's all coming from Colossians 3. He says this, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let the word of God dwell in you all richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. He goes to a holy living. If there's any chapter that you, I would recommend that you go on and take the time to memorize, I would say memorize chapters like Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. Ephesians 4, and you should listen. You can, if you listen to those two chapters all day for a month, you'd be safe. It would keep you safe. Because there's enough information in there to keep you free from sin and to live a life of love. It's all in there. We're going really long today. But for some reason we're talking about this. It's a good reminder for all of us and for those online. There could be some newcomers coming in. They need to hear this. So continue to press in with your whole hearts and seek me with all diligence. Seek me through my word. For it's my word that is a foundation within your spirit that will strengthen you and guard you against any deception that you might have heard. It will protect you and uproot any seeds of deception planted in your heart. Every morning my mercies are new. Every morning I give those who follow me a fresh start. So continue to press in and be blessed and refreshed in my presence. Spend time alone with me. Stay free from sin. And continue to press in, says the Lord.